You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation, where you can learn how to grow your business online automatically. And in this episode, I want to define what a CRM is and help you identify if you need one. And more accurately, what type of CRM should you be using in your business? I get this question a lot, and there's a lot of confusion around it, and I just want to help you all understand how to navigate this space. But before we jump into it, let me say thank you for all of the ratings and reviews, everybody. I am just so honored and grateful that you would take the time to give a rating and review. And if you are listening to this podcast for the first time, this is my invitation to you to become a subscriber. Join the family of listeners who are educating themselves to go higher with understanding how to systemize, how to automate their business through systemization. And we are available. The All Systems Go podcast is available in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and every other platform. My point is, you don't even have to download any additional software to your smartphone to be able to listen to this podcast. So if you're not subscribed, do me a favor, listen to this entire episode, then subscribe. All right. I want every subscriber to know that, to be someone who has listened and received value. And while you're at it, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It will be greatly appreciated. So let's dive right in it and start from the top. What is a CRM? How I want to do this is I'm going to break this down into two portions, this podcast, and it's going to be pre-marketing automation and post-automation. It's going to be really interesting because I don't know if anybody has really researched or taken the time to learn the history of the CRM, but it's very fascinating. So let's start with, what is a CRM? It's a customer relationship management software or system, and it's traditionally used for sales. Okay, it was a means of executing the sales cycle more efficiently. And here's where the history comes in. OK, if we think about traditionally, the primary purpose of the CRM was to house customer data. And these are actualized or potential customers. So people who have already given you money or who will give you money, because every salesperson knows and says, hey, man, when I say the more information you have about your prospect, the easier it is to close that deal. Right. If you're selling insurance and you know it's a mother of three who has an ailing husband whose health is ailing. Right. Like, that's gold for you. You know, not to say that you're going to, you know, like manipulate them or whatever, but you just know how to position a value. Right. So when we think about it, this is how it's traditionally been used. How do we get here? And what I found, and I will post a link to one of the articles that pretty much summarize the entire history of the CRM. I'll post it in the show notes, but it dates back to the 1980s with a company called ACT. It's ACT with an exclamation mark, and it allowed for efficient storage and organization of contact information. Now, this is very 1980s. This was not highly technical, everybody, but the idea was there, right? And that idea, that seed planted in 1980, we will start to see in the 90s as technology and other companies served as a catalyst when they saw this need. So what was interesting is, you know, I date myself back, you know, I'm an 80s baby, and I look at the 90s as my time of, you know, I was in high school at that time. Was I in high school? Yeah, I was in high school at that time. I was just kind of learning the internet. You know, that was back when dial-up was still thing, you know, AOL. You kind of remembered even the modem, the sounds of the modem, you know. So with that being said, I have kind of like a anchor for what was happening at this time. And at that same time, this is around the 90s, as personal computing was starting to pick up we saw the CRM space starting to develop. Now, back then, the earliest acronym that I found for it was SFA, which was Salesforce Automation. That's what it was called. And in fact, in 1993, there was an attempt because Oracle was leading in SFA, Salesforce Automation. There was an attempt to persuade the CEO, his name was Larry Ellison at the time, to say, hey, we need to offer this SFA as a standalone. And I want you all to note that because it's going to be very important later. Remember, life is cyclical. So we'll see this trend. No, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So anyway, just remember I said that, right? And the guy who proposed this, his name was Tom Siebel. I hope I said his name right. And of course, he was ignored, as many visionaries are, by the CEO in which they're under. And what he ended up doing is branching off and creating Siebel Systems, which became the leading Salesforce automation company in the market. But SFA hadn't caught on. It was just like, I guess this is what we're doing, but it's not really the official name. Have you felt like that in business before? Like you have a product name or a program name and you're like, yeah, that's the name of it for it to have a name, but it's not really it, you know? So what happened is there was a list of CRM acronyms, I should say, that started to arise. So one of them was ECM, which is Enterprise Customer Management. Another one was CIS, Customer Information System, which is, I'm curious if CIS, if they took that acronym and ran with it, because in college I studied Computer Information System. So that's interesting there. But by the end of 1995, CRM was established. And that was the beginning of the CRM, everybody. So 1995, just think, where were you at in 1995? What were you doing? The CRM was arising. It was arriving to the scene. And it just shows you this thing is not old. The CRM is not like it's been around for 50, 60, 70 years. This is not old at all. This is like 25 years old. What had you accomplished in 25 years of your life? Right? Just to give some perspective. And what is interesting is the same thing that impacted marketing automation, which, you know, if you've listened to my previous podcast, you know, it was the cloud, the advancement of technology, evolving around the cloud, allowing software to be developed differently and disseminated differently, really opened up for marketing automation. We saw the same trend back in 1999, and Salesforce, that's when Salesforce was founded. They were the leading company in this movement. So Salesforce, when they came out, they were, you know, hey, we're a CRM. Remember, standalone from 1993, Siebel was like, hey, it needs to be standalone. So Salesforce is like, hey, let's do this thing, right? And they were ignored by the industry, because remember, these are enterprises, right? The enterprise software today is extremely confusing. Can you imagine what it is, how it was back then? I mean, there was no space, no capacity, no willingness to learn a new tool. So I get why Salesforce was ignored. But end of the story, we see that Salesforce is practically the main force in CRM. And it's spanning. You're actually seeing Salesforce trying to make some efforts to come down market to the small business owner. But primarily what we see is Salesforce among enterprise tools. And again, since this was 1999, guess what Salesforce and all of these enterprise tools weren't thinking about? They weren't thinking about integration at all. Right. And this is why you're starting to see, if anybody's been in the Salesforce Pardot ecosystem, and if you've done Adobe Cloud and all in Marketo, none of the tools really play well together. I mean, setting up the integration, I was a part of ActiveCampaign's original partnership with Salesforce, and getting Salesforce to talk to ActiveCampaign was absolute hell. Oh my, I hated it. I really did. It reminded me of enterprise software. You know, we get spoiled, everybody, with Zapier and one-click integrations, or at most copying the API key and the ID. Well, when you have to go into Salesforce and create these records and then create a sub-account for it to match up, the closest thing that I could think of was when you use Kajabi, how Kajabi likes to integrate with your Stripe account at a sub-account level. That was the closest, but even that I would prefer more than what it takes to integrate some of this enterprise software, because we're spoiled. Small business technology integrates very easily. But since it was an afterthought, these tools are truly legacy. The traditional enterprise CRMs, they're truly legacy. So now they're just bolting on solutions, which I feel like, you know, I dare not say it has an expiration date, because the need for it outweighs the use, you know, the UI, the user experience. So people are willing to learn Salesforce in this overcomplicated system and many other systems for the sake of keeping the sales rolling in. Hey, look, it is what it is, right? So anyways, that was pre-marketing automation, okay? What marketing automation did when it came on the scene, and when I say marketing automation came on the scene, I would like to date back to 2001, okay? 2001 was the first signs of marketing automation from Infusionsoft. Infusionsoft wasn't called Infusionsoft back then at the time. I can't remember what the Martinoff family had was calling it back then, but they started to say, hey, look, there is a need for us to manage the sales cycle. I can't remember. I should have looked this up, but I think it was real estate that they were in. They were doing, they had a service, their family had a service-based business. Okay. Let me not say real estate, because I don't know what it was. I can't remember. I remember talking to them when I got certified, but I just can't remember the story. And I don't feel like pausing this and researching. So just follow me. So what happened was they had a service-based business and they were looking to automate the sales to help grow the business. I mean, this was a business in their garage, right? Small startup, there's no way you're going to purchase an overcomplicated and overpriced enterprise CRM. So thankful. We owe it, everybody, just so you know, to the Martinoff family to say, hey, look, how can we do this? How can we create more sales in a, like, how can we streamline this sales process? So Infusionsoft started solving a sales need at a smaller scale. And that was the introduction to marketing automation. Because once you start thinking about automating the sales process, you're like, well, what about before the sales process? Can we automate marketing? Right? Again, an afterthought. Right. It's not like Infusionsoft started off saying we want to automate marketing. So as they start to get more and more success with their technology, all of a sudden they're like, well, wait a minute. I think we can automate marketing and sales. And if we do them both within one platform, we've got something. Right. So this served as a shift, everybody. Before marketing automation, customer information was only used for sales. That was it, right? Post-marketing automation, contact information was used for both marketing and sales. You could argue, one could make a strong argument that the shortcoming of the traditional CRM is that it lacked the information from marketing to help close the deal. To help close more deals. But right when I make that statement, let me come to their defense and say marketing hadn't evolved at that point. Nobody was marketing online like that, right? So how you gathered information was very much traditional. If I wasn't talking to you on the phone, or, you know, buying some expensive database of your information or something, right? I didn't know who you were, or I didn't know anything about you. Whereas now we have digital means of acquiring information. So you're starting to see, I hope this is making sense. So with that ability to acquire information in a more dynamic fashion, we now start to see that the CRM is now serving two functions, sales and automation. I mean, I should say sales and marketing. Okay. So if you, that's what brings us to today. And this is going to be very interesting how I tie a bow on it on the end, everybody. And I believe everybody is going to be very clear on what a CRM is and if they need it or not. So for marketing, for marketers, the CRM serves as sales preparation, right? The ability to qualify leads better. That's really what marketing automation is. A lot of people mix those terms, marketing automation and sales automation. I'll have a podcast episode later that defines the two. But yes, marketing automation is now taking the information earlier. It's gathering information earlier to help sales later. All right. So we're in this episode halfway in. And the question is, so do I need one? Chris, do I need a CRM? In one of your previous episodes, it sounded like you were saying you don't need one. Well, let me be very clear right now. Do you need a CRM? The simple answer is yes. Of course you do. Everybody needs a way to manage contact and customer information. Everyone. The more interesting question is, what type do you need? What type of CRM do you need? And it all depends on the type of business. So if we think of the two main business types, enterprise and small business, when I look at enterprise, listen, there is no way you're going to be an enterprise company without a traditional CRM. Give it up. Don't even think about it. Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine there's an enterprise company out there right now running their database through spreadsheets or Microsoft Access database or something like that. Right. I can't envision that. I really can't. And hopefully you don't know anybody that's doing that. If so, you need to. Hey, Automation Ambulance, call. Help them. They don't realize they're bleeding out. All right. But the reason why is because at the enterprise level, it's B2B. You're not going B2C. The sales cycle is not as short as it is with B2C, which is business to consumer. B2B is business to business. So this is where we get the term account based marketing. And it relies heavily on the CRM. Right. Because you could be talking to multiple people within the organization. You know, you the sales cycle could be up to a year or more. Honestly, right? But the deals are a lot bigger. And this is where one of the core functionalities of the traditional CRM exists, where we don't see it. We don't see it as we go down market to small business, and it's relational records, right? Parent-child relationships. A parent could be a company, a child could be all of the employees within that company, or a parent could be a manager, and then child could be all of the people that they manage, right? But being able to identify those relationships and nurture each one of those relationships, you have to have a central means of holding all of the conversations, all of the touch points, all of the meetings. There's no way, right? You can call the manager and say, hey, look, I talked to Sarah on your team last week. I was able to get a hold of her, and she was just giving me some preliminary information so that, you know, this time could go a lot faster. That's why I only scheduled it for 15 minutes. To my understanding, you guys are struggling with this, this and that. Is that true? Right. Like, that's a totally different conversation. And it's a convenience for the manager if they're a touch point or somebody who was involved in that sales cycle. Right. And then also these traditional systems also have reporting. Now, the reporting may not be great in terms of like how to set it up, but they oftentimes have reporting connected to the performance of your sales team and the dollar amount or the amount of opportunities, you know, so that you can see who's performing the best, what kind of companies, you know, should you be going after, all of those things. But oftentimes this enterprise software for CRMs is extremely complicated, extremely complicated. I don't recommend it at all. It's one of the reasons why I am in the small business space. I am not in the enterprise space. You don't hear me talking much about Marketo, Acton, Pardot, Adobe Cloud, you know, all of those enterprise solutions. I don't touch them. I run away from them. I don't need them. And I don't need to know them. There's other people out there that do that stuff. And I know enough that don't hold on. Wait a minute. Before you start to tune out, I know enough to be dangerous in any platform. I don't need to know the platform to understand how it needs to be configured. I just don't care to know how to configure the enterprise software. But best believe I have consulted with many enterprise companies to help them understand how to program and maintain their database, right? But again, remember, enterprise software integration was an afterthought. So don't expect a smooth integration. I think it's improving. I believe HubSpot is really leading the charge with this. HubSpot's integrations about 3 or 4 years ago used to be really terrible, and now they're decent. You know, they're integrating with more tools more easily. All right. So then we go to the small business. Does the small business need one? Yes, but I don't recommend enterprise software. And the question is, what type, again, do you need? Now, remember, since the small business is going to be leveraging marketing automation in some capacity, as well as sales automation, we have a dual purpose. Okay, so remember that, because the question is, when you're thinking about the CRM for your small business, where are you storing the data to be easily accessible for both marketing and sales? Where does that data need to exist? Okay, and the ability for marketing and sales to talk to one another is going to determine the power of the tool. Okay, it's one of the unique things that I would always talk about at the workshops that I ran for Active Campaign is how the sales side of the platform easily talks to the marketing side, and then the marketing side easily talks to the sales side. There was good synergy there. Many people didn't understand how to unlock it, you know, and maybe there's something to be said about the user experience there. But once you got it, once you understood, you know, when I would teach it, I would see the light bulbs click. Now, they wouldn't know how to execute it per se, but they got it. And I was like, oh, that's how I use sales and marketing to align within one platform. Right. But how you use automation is going to determine your CRM setup. And the way that I think about this is pre-sale and post-sale. It's just another way of saying marketing and sales. Right. The heavier marketing will use the CRM. If you're a heavy marketing company, so more online based, definitely if you're an info marketer. But if the majority of your marketing takes place online or in the digital means, you're going to be using the CRM to house data via integration, right, to perform automated marketing. That's the function of the CRM for you. You're like 80% is going to be 80-20, right? 80% is of the CRM usage is going to be spent automated marketing. 20% is going to be used for sales, if any. You flip it. If you're heavier on the sales side, if you're a small business and you're really heavy on sales, you will find missing features in small business CRMs and mainly the relational connections, right? The relational records. Okay. Because most of the time for small business CRMs, they rely solely on the process, the sales process, right? But where traditional CRMs say, hey, look at these relationships within this process. That's where a lot of small business CRMs fall short. Okay. So what this does, this is so interesting, everybody. I knew this, but I haven't been able to put words to it until recently when I've been working with a few different companies. And the type is going to rely on your process and where you're storing the customer data, right? So we just talked about your process, whether you're heavy on marketing, heavy on sales, because where we're at right now, the state of the small business CRM is the dual CRM. There are so many businesses that I meet that have the need for a dual CRM, but they're trying to use the enterprise singular CRM approach. And to be honest, what platform that has a CRM would talk about a dual CRM, because it could potentially mean you won't be relying on them as much as they would like you to. But hey, listen, I am the blower of all whistles in the space of marketing automation, and we're going to keep everybody honest. The fact is, you will more than likely have a CRM for marketing and a CRM for sales serving their respective purposes. And there's a good chance you already have that. I see this so commonly with service-based businesses. a lot of times, if you're a dentist or, you know, a doctor of any capacity, maybe you're in real estate or, you know, CPA or fitness trainer, they all have their proprietary systems, all of them. So what I've seen a lot of people struggle with is they and an inexperienced consultant will come in and prescribe, hey, you need to be using Infusionsoft. Hey, you need to be using ActiveCampaign without first understanding the setup. I would never take an established business that is running a proprietary CRM and migrate them to another a small business CRM. I would never do it. What I would do is say, okay, it looks like this is serving as your client CRM. What I want to introduce is a marketing CRM. Okay. And then there's ways to integrate at some point in your marketing to send them over to the customer CRM. It's the dual CRM approach. It's here to stay, everybody. You're just going to see more of it. If you haven't heard it verbalized, but you've been experiencing it, you're welcome for your sigh of relief. Hopefully the light bulb just clicked on for somebody. Okay. Because if you have a CRM dedicated for marketing, its purpose is to nurture leads and close more new customers. And then your CRM for sales is to nurture those customers and get them to repeat purchase, right? The function of them is different. And what I like about it, and this goes back to my marketing layer podcast, is that you can implement a marketing CRM without disrupting any of their legacy CRM functionality. Okay, but when you get to more traditional modeled businesses and service-based businesses, they're usually going to have their contact information stored in a system that doesn't play well with anything else. If you need to, though, more than likely a developer can build out webhooks. If you're trying to think, well, how do I get them from marketing to sales? And do I need to get sales back to marketing? I don't know. Sometimes you do. Sometimes people in your sales system need to go back in marketing to get newsletters or whatever. But I usually nurture those two differently. And I see it more so nurturing differently between sales and marketing leads. Right. So when you think about this, this maybe will lead credence to you why I don't prescribe a CRM. I used to. You know, especially when I was at ActiveCampaign, it was like, hey, ActiveCampaign, just put it on everything. I stopped doing that. I stopped doing that because sometimes the team of the company, their team, it's more manual, and they can pick up and understand a tool like Airtable much easier than like me trying to come in and just throw a big CRM on them. Right. Like, especially if they're more manual. I found a lot of success with Airtable, right? You know, like you can easily manage the database, and I found it as a good segue into a CRM. And then actually the usage of Airtable, it starts to define how the CRM needs to be configured. This all goes back to my approach of documentation before implementation and technology, right? I try to stay away from spreadsheets, everybody, for functionality purposes. Airtable just works a lot better. Again, in the show notes, if you've never heard of Airtable, I'll have a link to it. But it's a free software. But spreadsheets are good for reporting and like storing data for reporting purposes. I like to create dashboards off of that based on contact information. But I would never use it for like a database. You know, Airtable is just much better than that. And it can serve as a pretty robust CRM for a lot of you. Everybody, just know I'm always nervous about technology. I don't trust it. I love it, but I don't trust it. So a lot of times I may have a marketing CRM and a backup version of it in Airtable or a spreadsheet, but just because I just don't like all my data being in one place. Okay, I like the diversification of data, if that's a term. All right. So anyways, another reason why I stopped prescribing CRMs is because once I understand their model, they may be heavy on the sales side and not doing a lot of marketing yet. So in that event, they just need a sales CRM. And a lot of times it's easier for them to pick up a tool like Airtable or, you know, spreadsheet or something like that than for me to put to introduce a new platform to their technology stack, since they're already slow at adopting technology as it is. Okay. So as a small business owner, you're going to need to define, where does my data, where do my customers, where do they exist? And where do my leads exist? Are they the same? Should they be the same? I can tell you there are a lot of businesses that I see that have one CRM with customer information and have another CRM with the same customer information, which is literally you paying twice for the same person. But a lot of people don't even realize until I say, hey, listen, that's really two CRMs right there. Because they think a CRM has to be singular. Okay, it doesn't have to be. Don't let these platforms hold you hostage. Okay, so what could a CRM look like? We've already talked about a spreadsheet. We've already talked about Airtable. Another CRM could look like a mobile app. Maybe you have a mobile application and you're getting all of their information on the back end, right? In some database or you know, maybe the tool itself is allowing you to see who's who. A private network or community. I'm seeing this more and more often. You know, if you have a private network or a forum or some type of community, you can badge people. You can collect information on custom fields. That could be a CRM, right? A lot of these platforms send email notifications when you post something new. It's the same functionality. Just because you're not sending a broadcast email doesn't mean it's not serving as your CRM. But again, this could be, if it's a paid community, that could be your sales CRM. And then you say, hey, I need a marketing CRM. And when they're done in my marketing CRM, I'm going to remove them because I see them in my community. And then another, probably the lowest form of a CRM is an email list. I even cringed when I put this on there. But the reality is it's all dependent on your business and how much information you need to store. So email lists can serve as a CRM, you know, because you can hold more data. I am so like in like I said it just for it to be technically accurate, but I don't recommend it. I've seen a lot of nonprofits like churches and social organizations. They have proprietary software as well that will allow you to group, you know, contacts by location, function and all of that, and then send out information accordingly. That's a CRM. It's a form of the CRM. And at the end of the day, what happened is the space has opened to really say wherever you're storing your customer data can be qualified as a CRM. Some are greater than others, but best believe, though it's a lot looser today than in the past, and that's from the flow down from enterprise. But best believe all roads do lead to a formal CRM at some point in your business. You know, a lot of the things that I talked about when I talk about Airtable, spreadsheets and all of that, those are just kind of like to get started. Right. But at some point you will. And once you introduce a CRM, there's a good chance that you'll have a marketing CRM and a customer CRM. Which in closing leads me to the professor of prophecy. Okay, I'm going to harness my internal Nostradamus and predict something that we saw in 95. I told you to make note of this. I'm closing out on this one. Remember, everything is cyclical. And back when Siebel, I believe it was, let me look at my notes. Remember when Tom Siebel said, hey, look, this needs to be a standalone. This was 1993, and they ignored it. And eventually the CRM was the standalone. Where that happened at the enterprise level, marketing is just it follows sales. So the history of sales marketing follows it. So we're going to see, mark my word, Nostradamus, we're going to see a decoupling of the CRM as a standalone. We already see that with Infusionsoft going to Keep. It's starting to position CRM and then marketing automation as two separate products. Listen, trust me, you're going to see other products do the same thing. It's going to happen. That's what I see in the 2020s from the prophet himself, Nostradamus, the marketing automation prophet. professor of prophecy, Nostradamus Chris. That's what he says. So who needs to hear this, everybody? When you were listening to this, I know you were thinking about your business, but who is that business partner, that associate, that neighbor, that friend that really needs to understand this? Because it will help them tremendously at how they're operating their business. What I want you to do is share this episode with them. Talk about it. Right. Like you be the reporter. Report on my behalf. You can tell them what I said and you can get the credit for being intelligent. OK, but in that, I want you to send them to this podcast so that they can continue to learn about this stuff because they need to know it's simple mistakes like just trying to put everything in one CRM instead of knowing there's two that can be costing you thousands and thousands of dollars a month, everybody. OK, so I need you to get this. Marketing consultants, I need you to understand this. Stop prescribing CRMs just because it worked for another client. Stop it. Take the time and understand what their needs are, what their processes are, and prescribe them the best tool and approach for their process. And CEOs, hold these marketing consultants at a high level. Okay? High level. The ones that I'm connected with, that I mentor and train, they have no problem. Okay. But CEOs, I need you to understand this so you understand how to have these conversations, navigate and build a team. All right. So with that being said, listen, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and have left the 5-star rating and review. All of the episodes, the show notes, so all of the links that I mentioned for every podcast will be available at automationbridge.com/podcast. And as always, until the next episode, automate responsibly, my friends.